top down music. This next piece is something new again, and it's written by Hanny, our bass player, and it's entitled Stuck.
This is Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti, with the remote location episode once again. So today, something I've been wanting to do for a while is I'm going to give you my, I'm going to do a little of my comedy routine, and then at the end, another installment of how to talk to a conservative, or how to talk to Ann Coulter about COVID-19. And that'll be strictly my own opinions and observations. So the comedy scene, I gotta say that there's a lot of there's more quantity than quality in the comedy, in the open mic scene in general. Everybody's doing open mic, but there are some really committed people that are just fantastic that put me to shame. But I did get some fist bumps, and I have had some good response to the stuff that I'm going to give you. And, you know, other comedians are trying to do this online without an audience, and it's very difficult to pull it off. So I'm going to still try and hopefully entertain you a little bit. And then we'll get back in the next few weeks. I'll have some more stuff of people doing stuff to stop multinational corporations. So coming up, my comedy routine, and then the ones that have been successful, and then how to talk to a conservative about COVID-19. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. KEPW 97.3 FM, Low Power FM, Eugene Peaceworks Community Radio, simulcast on KEPW.org. Okay, so a little history, though, of my foray into open mic. When I first started, this was about 2010, I believe, or 2012, I tried to do a bunch of political stuff, and most people are doing, there's a lot of scatological stuff, and, people do a relationship stuff. Not many people do political stuff. And so immediately I was heckled. I had a lady, complain that she didn't show up for a history lesson, and, and it wasn't very good anyway. So, and I gotta say, stick with it. If you're trying this stuff, stick with it, because it's amazing how you go in with a bunch of material and you really need to get in front of an audience. You gotta practice in front of the mirror for a little while, but you really need, and that's what's so sad about the COVID-19 stuff right now, is that you really need an audience to practice on, because then you start narrowing stuff down. I've taken like whole paragraphs of stuff and cut them down to just one or two lines. You suddenly realize that this is where the key points are, and so you end up throwing a lot of stuff out, but you have to try the stuff in the first place before you can throw it out. It's just like a rough draft in any type of journalism. So I'm giving you the pared down stuff, I'm not going to give you any experimental stuff today, but yeah, you got to have it's a shame that Cafe Kush closed down, because that was a great place to experiment. All right, so bear with me. Get your funny bone out. And support open mics. And, you know, don't just show up there with your friends when your friends are on the open mic and then leave. That's not cool, I don't think. You should stay for at least a few acts besides your friend's act. So there. If you want to see what the open mic comedy scene is like, there's a movie. I don't know why this movie is not around, but while you're sitting home sequestered or quarantined, you might want to watch Punchline. Was Tom Hanks' first movie out after he was in Bosom Buddies. Punchline with Sally Field and Tom Hanks is about the comedy scene. And there's people that are that committed that are even more committed, his character in Punchline, that'll go down to hospitals, anywhere there's an audience, hospital, old folks home, fire in the 55-gallon drum. Anywhere there's more than two people, bus stations, but trains, transit trains, these people will perform and to practice their craft. They're that into it and live out of their van, just like Tom Hanks in the movie Punchline. Oh, so one more thing is there's an unwritten rule apparently in comedy that you're not supposed to do dick jokes. But I'm still the so these I'm getting away with this though. But technically, comedians, you're not supposed to do dick jokes because they're too easy. All right, so I noticed that a lot of bands are named after the penis, and you know, for instance, Steely Dan was a dildo, and you know, they say Pink Floyd is not a euphemism for the penis, but these are usually the same people that, that think that that's the Hindenburg on the first three Led Zeppelin albums. And what exactly is Pearl Jam? Anyway, waiter, is your Pearl Jam locally sourced? Why, yes, we have a young guy make it right at your table. Really? Is that legal in this state? Yes, would you like that splatter or gusher? I don't know, I guess splatter. Well, I'll be right back with your bib. Now, I don't know what I just ordered. I have a feeling my complexion is going to be rosy well into next week. So I have a way, I think, of stopping nuclear war. You know, my favorite, one of my favorite movies is Dr. Strangelove, and there's a scene in there where they're talking about repopulating the world after a nuclear holocaust, and that the nuclear survival bunkers are going to have to be filled with beautiful women. In order to repopulate the world, they're going to have to be attractive women to repopulate the world after the nuclear holocaust from the nuclear survival bunkers. Well, you know, you only need like six guys for that. In fact, if you had a well-maintained Pearl Jam bank, you really wouldn't need any men in the nuclear survival bunkers. And you know, ladies, this is how far men will go to get to Funky Town with a beautiful woman. We'll just blow up the entire world and lock you in a bunker. And so, like I say, if we had no men allowed in the nuclear bunkers, I think that we would stop nuclear war almost overnight. Maybe one guy to take the trash out and clean the gutters and the satellite dish and maybe do foot massages. But really, once men figure out that they're not allowed in the nuclear survival bunkers, they're gonna find something else to do with their missiles. They'll keep their missiles in their pants where they belong. I'm looking for an innuendo for that joke to end that joke, that bit. Okay. Countries are required, in order to join NATO, countries are required to buy weapons. Isn't that just the old mafia protection racket, the old mafia insurance scam? You got a really nice country here. I wouldn't want to see anything happen to it. You know, you better buy some weapons from us. Wouldn't want you to end up a hole in the ground like your neighbor over there was Waziristan. So, Theresa May got up there. I guess it's been a year. She's out now, but it's still a little poignant. She got up there one day, and I've never heard her say this, only heard her say this once. She said that she's going to seize the assets of the Russian oligarchs that are in the Russian oligarchs' assets that are in the Bank of England. Well, hold on there, beef eater breath. Hold on there. Wait a minute there, mitigator of Gaul, Duchess of Destabilization, Merchant of the Maidenhead. You mean to tell me that you just let the Russian oligarchs put the money they stole from the Russian people in the Bank of England and gave them a free toaster and waived service charges and said, pip, pip, cheerio, Bob's your uncle, have a nice day. So the CIA are not assholes because they destabilize third world countries for multinational corporations. Well, actually, that is why they're assholes. But the reason I think they're assholes is because when are they going to put LSD in the water supply like they promised long ago? I mean, they've been holding out on us. At least put it in Washington, D.C.'s water. Maybe Congress will get something done. Okay, there's a new word in the, a new verb in the English language. It's to be kashoji'd, is to be cut up and dismembered and carried off in suitcases. As in, he was kashoji'd, or they kashoji'd him. Marketing has already run with this. They The Samsonite Luggage Company has come out with a new line of leak-proof luggage, and the Ginsu Knife Corporation has come out with a new knife specifically for cutting up journalists. It never needs sharpening. Now, you may think that it's too soon for that joke, but would it help if you knew that Khashoggi's uncle was famous weapons broker Adnan Khashoggi? You know, every time there's a problem, there seems to be a broker involved, I notice. Would the world be any different if there were no brokers in it, if no one had the word broker in their job title? Loan broker, commodities broker, real estate broker. Every time there's a problem, there's a broker involved. A pimp is a sex broker. He gets paid whether you nut or not. Aren't brokers just pimps without the purple hat? Can anybody trace their career back to an appearance on NPR? It seems to be where musicians go to die. No one seems to come out of there alive. My theory is they used the life essence of musicians to power the transmitters. Look at poor James Taylor. He went in there one day, and he barely made it out of there alive. He comes out, he's bald, and his pants are up to his sternum. There's a few artists that can, like Annie DeFranco and Melissa Etheridge, that can get in and out of there. They're kind of like the clownfish of NPR. They go in there to clean their teeth, I guess, and they can get out unscathed. Joan Baez only goes in there when she has a book deal. They tried to get Bob Dylan to go in there as publicist, and, hey, Bob, we booked you on NPR. You know, anybody can do a Bob Dylan impression. It's right in between Frankenstein and Tom Petty. Refugee is right in between there as Bob Dylan. Anybody can do a Bob Dylan impression. All right, I said I wasn't going to do any experimental stuff. I lied. I haven't had the nerve to do this one yet. You know, when you're young, zits or blackheads, they're terrible. But when you're older, they're a sacred event because it's been so long since you've had a blackhead or a zit. Ass zits are the best. You want what I do? Maybe I don't know if anybody else does this. Maybe I'm the only one that does this. But I'll burn a few candles and lock myself in the bathroom. And what you want to do is set up a few empty bottles as targets in front of the mirror. And you turn around and get a good grip on that zit on your ass and aim it at the mirror and the bottles you've set up. And right as you squeeze, you want to clench your ass cheeks and try to knock over as many bottles as you can. And then I keep a journal with the days, how many I've knocked over. And if nothing else, you get a good splatter on the mirror. You want to get a good splatter on the mirror. So that's something to look forward to when you get older. I worked for a little while at a fulfillment center. I won't say the name. It rhymes with Scamazon. The reason they call it a fulfillment center is because you're fulfilling an indentured servitude there. And this particular one was, the whole warehouse is run by a computer called a mechanical sensei. So when Scamazon employees rage against the machine, they're literally raging against a literal machine. And so the assembly, I was packing boxes because the pickers run, I couldn't handle the picking job. You run for 15 miles a day, basically, in a giant warehouse. And so I'm on the assembly line. It's much like the Lucy episode where she's in the candy store. And you know, about a third of their items are sex toys, because I guess people are too embarrassed now to go into the marital aids shop, so they buy their sex toys online. So about a third of the stuff that comes down the conveyor belt is a sex toy. One day, this thing that looked like a giant butt plug came down the assembly line. I started waving it around. It turned out to be a plumber's tool for plugging a 6-inch pipe. Who knew? I got one day, an order that all that was in there was an economy-sized jar of Vaseline, a large black dildo, and a pair of pantyhose. So I left a note in there with my phone number and saying, "Help, I'm being held captive at the Scamazon warehouse." but unfortunately they never called. So I even at Scamazon, I even tried to get people to sing on the assembly line. Don't cry for me, Mr. Jeff Bezos. You were supposed to be a bookstore. Now look what happened. You are a sweatshop. I have pneumonia, so keep your distance. I can't quit my job. I need the money. Needless to say, nobody joined in. Is Kobe Bryant the first person to die of gridlock? I mean, he had to fly. The traffic is so bad in L.A., he had to fly into the Staples Center from his house to go to a game. They basically invented gridlock in California, in Los Angeles. The rush hour actually lasts 4 hours. People say I'm judgmental. Let me give you an example of judgmental. Okay, there's a... Adolf Hitler and Osama bin Laden are on the second floor, on the fourth floor of a burning building, and there's a ladder on the side of the building. Now, and you're walking by, do you grab the ladder and help him and save him? Of course you save him. Hitler would have been laughed out of the beer hall if it wasn't for aristocrats making the middle class pay for World War I. He would have stayed a vagrant painter with that silly mustache. Osama bin Laden is a product of American corporate foreign economic policy. Now, if it's Dick Cheney, you definitely want to steal the ladder. I mean, when this guy comes through the rolling door, you know your country's going to be in a war, an unnecessary war with the wrong country, and your treasury is going to go straight into the hands of the weapons contractors and their oligarch owners.
Brought to you by BJ's Bottled Air, the only bottled air manufactured in a plant powered by the very charcoal it's filtered through. Each bottle comes with a free trach tube ribbed and lubricated for pleasurable insertion. Pick up some BJ's Bottled Air today while you still can. Brought to you by Gluteus Maximus Excon Cranium. Do you still think women and people of color are inferior? Do you think corporations care about people and the environment? Do you think George Bush doesn't know the lyrics to the Horse Vessel song? You may be suffering from terminal ignorance. Made from 100% Amanita mushrooms, Gluteus Maximus Excon Cranium actually removes the brain plaque associated with terminal ignorance. Pick up some today before it's too late. Side effects are compassion, forgiveness, and hysterical laughter. Brought to you by Silt River Tree Museum and Casino. Built on the site where an actual ancient rainforest once stood, see a full-scale replica of a Douglas fir tree. See pictures of trees larger in diameter than a man is tall. Trout and salmon that once choked the rivers of the Northwest will sing to you in our chamber of taxidermy. Hear the disaffected sounds of Feller Buncher and his bunch of fellers, an all-ex-logger band, in our simulated wood amphitheater. Take the Oregon Desert Highway to the clear-cut road exit, turn right at the stump in the road, and you're at Silt River Tree Museum and Casino. Free parking, kids a buck and a half, closed during summer months due to melting asphalt, giant locusts, and methyl ethyl hydroxy colchicine slag emissions.
Also brought to you by Billy Bob Clinton's Missiles R Us. Hi, I'm Billy Bob Clinton, the largest dealer of missiles in the world. I've sold more missiles than anybody. I'll eat a bug to sell you a missile. I got a herd of missiles. I'm practically giving them away. They're stacked up here like cordwood. No cash. We have instant credit. We'll take most any type of collateral. We take oil, minerals, cheap labor, just about anything. This week's special, F-15 fighters, only 5 left, so get here fast. Take the Pennsylvania Avenue past Silo 16 till you see the crater in the road. Turn right and you're at Billy Bob Clinton's Missiles R Us. Come near closing time wearing a thong and I'll show you a wrinkled missile.
This is yet another installment of How to Talk to a Conservative, also known as How to Talk to Ann Coulter, the COVID-19 edition. Always wanted to see Ann Coulter in a Nazi uniform. Did I just say that out loud? Sorry. Anyway, so my sister works for Walmart, and I get this email from her, and I'm not going to read it. I'm going to paraphrase it for you. Basically, what it says is that she doesn't understand why there's only 2,000 deaths and why we have to go through all this with where there's only 2,000 deaths. And she's cleaning up after the mess, the hordes of people that have come into her store in Reno, Nevada, which isn't a coastal area. So she doesn't understand why, with only 2,000 deaths, of course, you know, if you're one of the 2,000, it would be important, but, yeah, so she thinks, she doesn't understand why we have to go through all this. So I'm going to, the opinions on this show are not that of the station or the producers or Eugene Peaceworks Community Radio on 97.3, KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Community Radio. And I'm not an epidemiologist, although I play one on the radio. But, so I'm not, this is just something, this is my own observation, okay, from just a little bit of knowledge and experience and secondhand information. So please, research this yourself. Use your own brain at all times. So, the problem is we don't have health care in this country. If we had health care, if we had reserves of stuff, of PPE, personal protective equipment, and if we had testing, a lot of testing resources, we wouldn't have to do all this. What would probably have happened is, you know, you probably wouldn't be able to, if you're having a convention of people that are from out of town and out of the country, you probably would have had to shut those down and probably would have had to do some border checking, you know, and stop people from coming in the into the country without at least some testing or some information. But you wouldn't have had to shut down all the local restaurants if we had all this testing. And if you just use a little common sense and wash your hands and stay clean and keep a little distance from people, everything would have been fine. But because we don't have health care in this country, because they've decimated the healthcare system, that's why we have to go through all this. Now, also, when you talk to a conservative, don't say the S word A if you can help it. Okay, don't say the word socialism. This was a huge mistake on Bernie's part, is using the word socialism. I use the word social welfare, okay? And whether you believe in socialism or not, I'm not going to get into a debate on socialism. I'll give you an example. My father used to have health care when your job supplied health care. And like my father had open heart surgery when he was 50, completely paid for. And he didn't have a stellar job. He had a fairly well upper middle class job. But all of that was paid for. So it doesn't matter how you do social welfare. I'm not talking about how we need social welfare. However you want to do it, if you don't want to do it with capital, if you don't want to do it with socialism, that's fine. There's other ways you can do it. It seems to me, though, it would be a lot easier just to pool all your money together, all the businesses, and have social healthcare that we all pool our money together in, and then have a government agency that oversees that and make sure that nobody is cheated. Oh, hey, we already have that. It's called Medicare. Medicare is not socialized medicine, and I can prove it to you right now. My mother did medical billing, and she worked for this, they were nephrologists. They were epidemiologists. They were nephrologists, and a nephrologist, for those of you who don't know, this guy, it's a kidney specialist. These guys are sharp. They have to know everything. Everything affects the kidneys. And they have to know a little bit about the brain function, everything. So these guys were geniuses. They had very wealthy people that they had insurance that they took care of. And then they took care of Medicare, and they also had HMOs. So what my mother told me, and she was fairly conservative, she defended Nixon till the day she died. The dichotomy with her is she would have stood in front of the truck if they would ever take me away to be a soldier. She said she would stand in front of the truck. But yet she was also a Nixon conservative. Kind of a William F. Buckley type of conservative, what conservatives used to be. Now they've become basically Nazis. But she was a William F. Buckley who might have actually had an argument, but the ones that we have now are just complete xenophobes. So she did medical billing. She was conservative. And even she said that the HMOs, she had a hell of a time getting the money from the HMOs. These are corporations. These are medical corporations. But Medicare, you had to fill out a bunch of forms, but you would get the doctor paid. And like I say, these are private. These aren't doctors that work for a socialized medicine scheme. These are private doctors that people have pooled their tax dollars together into Medicare to pay the doctor something on a agreed upon rate. So, again, and these, and the doctors, so the doctors ended up throwing out the HMOs. They refused to take the HMOs after a while because they just wouldn't pay. But yet, like I said, and these are fairly conservative doctors, they would take Medicare because even though, and the reason you had to fill out a lot of forms is because you're trying to make sure that you aren't, that no one is cheated. So that's why you had to fill out a lot of forms, but they're paid within a reasonable amount of time. So again, this is not socialism. Whether you believe in socialism or not, conservatives, we can have, it's just pooling your money together the same way we do the highway system. You have private contractors, and you have a third party that oversees the contractors to build the roads. All right, now, the anarchists, and I'll be talking about this in the future, the anarchists are saying, and I agree, that you can have corrupt public officials. In fact, we have a lot of corrupt public officials. So you really shouldn't rely on the government at all. But, so that would be great, too, if we just had mutual aid societies and we did healthcare on a small scale like they do in Cuba. They do it's very successful. Although theirs is probably socialized medicine, but you could do that, do it on a small, there's theoretically, you could have the neighborhood doctor that we all support in the neighborhood with, and that we all share. So that'll be a future episode. I'm talking about, I want to do some stuff on Rojava and how they do things in Rojava. There's several videos on that that I'll be bringing the audio to. Okay, so this is how, again, how you talk to Ann Coulter in her Nazi uniform, kind of like Elsa in Raiders of the Lost Ark, that Raiders of the Lost Ark movie. Did I say that out loud again? I'm sorry. So, yeah, this is how you talk to a conservative, if you can even get through to them at all. And again, my sister, all she listens to, she will not listen to anything but conservative talk radio. And you can almost tell, you can tell exactly what she's going to say by listening to conservative talk radio. She doesn't use, so please, use your own brain. It's important that you're talking to someone that uses their own brain and doesn't just listen to one person all the time. You have to listen to a lot of different things. And on this show, you'll see that usually there's a third way. There's usually like five different ways of looking at something. And I try to bring you an alternative way of looking at something. And I'm always getting, people are teaching me this. I'm no genius either. I learn from especially the anarchists and especially young people. I learn a lot by listening to young people. So there you go. There's your how to talk to a conservative on KEPW LP 97.3 FM Eugene Peaceworks Community Radio. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media.
Direct from our newsroom in New York, it's the Channel 1 Evening News with Robert Elgin and Leo Batfish in Suckmuck Dick, Thurston Thithertinton in Bath, Mechanica Mechanica in Washington, D.C., Freddie Fagel in Minneapolis, and Lionel Elgin in New York.
Good evening. Enemy sappers attacked Allied supply bases in Long Wang earlier today. Casualties were reported high in the Gulf of Kaki and in Nirpakyu, where enemy helicopters were downed by rock-throwing peasant women. General Chow, commander of Allied forces in Long Wang, divided his troops into two columns and ordered three units from Column A and two units from Column B into ground fighting there. American troops were on hand, and here with a report is Leo Batfish in Suckmuck Dick.
These are the proud and plucky fighting men of the screaming 103rd Airborne Cavalry, secretly stationed here in Long Wang to support and destroy in this protective overreaction mission known as Operation Bloodbath. These battle-hardened, shell-shot elite corps has covertly hauled heavy artillery through rice paddies, cow paddies, jungles, and swamps, moving under cover of darkness to avoid being accidentally bombed by stray B-52s. The Screaming 103rd is part of the Terminal Pacification Program, initiated by an unknown sonographer at the Pentagon in 1968. And so, for these men, war or no war, enemy or no enemy, this dreadful, dreary, drab, draconian drama drags on. This is Leo Batfish in Suckmuck Dick.
The Russians' new space program got off to an inauspicious start today, apparently due to a gas leak aboard the giant Scratchinich 3 rocket. Here, via satellite, is a taped report from Thurston Thithertinton in Bath.
The Soviet Union today launched a Scratchinich 3 rocket with one Russian cosmonaut aboard. Soon after takeoff, the trouble began. Director of the mission, Vladimir Getcharoksov, alerted the flight commander, Yuri Vosnovsky, of a dangerous amyl nitrate leak into the rocket's fresh air and cooling system. Apparently dazed by the noxious chemical, Commander Vosnovsky disregarded orders and, donning his spacesuit, jumped out of the giant spacecraft. Narrowly escaping doom with the aid of his British-built jet-propelled rocket pack, the berserk Russian spaceman, apparently enraged by the technical malfunctions plaguing the Soviet space program, launched a one-man assault on the mission control headquarters. In a typically Russian display of pique, Vosnovsky fought for several minutes with scientists involved in the ill-fated launching. Alexei Rudnakny, an authority on solar wind and former Olympic discus thrower, finally overcame cosmonaut Vosnovsky by driving him into the atomic pile. His present condition is unknown. Meanwhile, the abandoned rocket on a collision course for St. Peter's Basilica in Rome was detonated. This is Thurston Thithertinton in Bath.
Make the world a little bit better. At Uranus, we're just beginning to find out. The president went to the airwaves this evening in a televised address to the nation. Commenting upon the spirit of dissent abroad in the land, the president reaffirmed his confidence in the basic strength of the American people.
I'm in the driver's seat. I run the show. I'm the president.
Thank you. mosquito